Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Lord tonight. Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. If you would, go ahead and take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. We're going to be in verse 18 here in a minute. It's going to take me just a minute to get there, but you'll be ahead of the curve. I used to think that some people had / have more of the Holy Spirit than others. Am I alone in that? I used to think that some people have more of the Holy Spirit. Like I think you maybe had more of the Holy Spirit today than I do. Less? So you think that maybe, okay, so that's where I was until about 3 weeks ago. And supporting this feeling, this belief that I used to have was, you know, David when he defeated Goliath. That's never been me. I've never been able to have the kind of faith and the feeling of the Holy Spirit to go out there with a slingshot and defeat this 9-foot guy. I was thinking, David had something more than I did. Or what about Elijah when he stood against all the prophets of Baal, just stood firm against them as they cried out and did all those things and had the faith that God was going to answer, God was going to burn that wood and burn that sacrifice and be with him as he brought it, the worship back together. I don't have that. What about Stephen? When he was persecuted, Stephen in the New Testament, when they put him and they were stoning him to death, and he stood firm in his faith as they stoned him to death. Man, Stephen had something different. He had a little something extra. Because my worship, my faith, my walk doesn't look like any of those three people. So I thought maybe they had something different than I do. But here's the thing. The Bible does not teach that some have more of the Holy Spirit than others in the New Testament. The only thing that I could find that shows an additional spirit was Elisha when he asked for the doubling of the spirit after Elijah died. That's the only encounter. That's the Old Testament. So tonight is not about adding something. So if we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the fourth week, final week of the Holy Spirit. If we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, tonight we're not going to be adding a step. We're not going to be talking about 5 steps to get more power of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to be talking about yielding something, giving something up, not adding. You can write this down. Experiencing the Spirit's power is not about getting more of Him, but yielding more of your will to God's will. Let's reinforce the key teaching on the Holy Spirit's presence before we begin. I know we've talked about this, but I don't think that you can talk about it too much. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page as we conclude this series. The first truth is, you already have all of the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if Jesus is your King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all of this is going to be for believers too, by the way. You have to be believing for any of this, and I'll discuss the non-believing at the end. So here's a couple of verses that solidify this truth that we already have all of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So God sealed you with His Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 12:13, we all drink from the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. So the same Spirit, the same God in every believer. That's what the Bible teaches. So if you truly believe in Jesus, you didn't get part of the Holy Spirit. As in, you didn't get the right foot of the Holy Spirit when you got Him. You didn't get 15% of the Holy Spirit with your belief. You got the whole thing. You got all of the Holy Spirit, 100% of the Holy Spirit, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But one of the things that led to this series is the fact that although we all have the Holy Spirit as believers, we don't live like it. We live like we're in our house, or let's say the church. Let's use the church as an example. We're in this church, every light is off. We're in here in the dark. And we're sitting here looking at each other going, man, why don't we have any light in here? This is so dark in this place. Why can't we have the lights? Well, the power's on. And us sitting here and not going to the back wall and turning that switch on and turning that switch on and turning that switch on. We're not using it. We're not tapping. The power's there. We're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're not tapping into the power. And that's my passion for tonight. I want to tap into the power, not for my use, not for my glory, but for God's glory. But I want to experience glorifying God through His power. And I hope you do too. I don't want to sit in here in the dark and complain that it's dark when we got power and we got lights. So if we already have the Spirit, what's the real problem? Or I'm sorry, if we already have the Spirit, yet we don't experience His power, what's the real problem? That's where we're going next. Our second truth, not every believer is controlled by the Spirit. Not every believer is controlled by the Spirit. So we all have the same Spirit. Why don't we all live with the same power? Scripture gives us commands that show us how to walk in the Spirit's power. So let's go to the Bible. The first one's Ephesians 5:18, what we talked about earlier. And it says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Galatians 5:16 and 17, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh," which is going to be important here in just a minute, because this flesh is the nemesis. But if we, the Bible promises, if we'll walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So there's a war going on in our bodies between our flesh and the Spirit that dwells inside of us. They're at war. They're at enmity. Battling, fighting against one another. So these are the two commands. Be filled. And I went back and looked at the sermon series that we did a while back in Ephesians, and I got the same thing tonight as I had back then. That was comforting to me that I told the same thing twice. So be filled is continuous. It's an ongoing, it's repetitious, it's not a one-time thing. Now you are filled with the Spirit one time. You are sealed with the Spirit one time. But this command here, being filled, is continuous repetitively, over and over and over again, nonstop. So how do we do that? How do we follow this command? Well, one thing, we can start each day in prayer asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. I think that's a great principle. If you don't get anything else from tonight, remember that. If we want to continuously be filled, continuously be asking for the filling. Because it's God's going to give it to you. And if you sin, if you fall short, if you disobey, confess it and get back on track. Don't sin and stay in the ditch mad about being in the sin or that you did it. Confess it and get back on track. Continue in the filling. And then walk by the Spirit also continuously, repeatedly. And how do you walk by the Spirit? You listen to that small, still voice. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer today, I bet you would testify if I went around and asked everybody, have you ever heard that small, still voice? Whether it be a command, a comfort. If you're a believer, you should be hearing it. That is the voice of God. And is it audible? For me, it's not. For me, it's much louder than that. It is seated in my soul. When God wants me to do something, it is right here. It is undeniable. I can hear it. It's almost like, I'm probably going to do a bad job of explaining this. Bethany and I were just talking about this. We as humans are limited and we have to have speech. So if Brandon, if I wanted to tell you what I had for supper tonight, I would have to use my words. I'd say, I went through the line, you know, I got a salad, I got this and this. And after I got through talking, you'd know exactly what I had because we had communicated this. Well, the power of God doesn't need that. The power of God can just give you that understanding that you have right now without me even saying anything. It supersedes our limitations. And also the convictions. You know, that's one thing the Holy Spirit does is it convicts us of our sin. So if you want to walk with the Spirit, listen to those convictions and correct your walk as it's telling you to correct it. Respond. So the sad truth is you can have the Holy Spirit and not be controlled by Him. And I think I confessed that on Sunday morning that I lived a lot of my life by doing that. I had the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of me and absolutely had no desire for Him to control my life. And I paid the price for that many times. And if not the Spirit, so if the Holy Spirit is not controlling us, who is? 1 Corinthians 3:3. For you are still fleshly. For there is jealousy and strife among you. You are not, you're walking like mere men. So what's one of the things that control us if not the Spirit? Our flesh, our sinful nature. Secondly, Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. To grieve means to distress, to cause to be sorrowful. First Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. To quench means to extinguish a flame, to suppress, to snuff out. So that's who's controlling all those things. Who's quenching? Who's doing all that? That's our flesh, our sinful nature. Who's in control of that? We are. So if you're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit, who's controlling the ship? Your sinfulness. Saved but not Spirit-led. You didn't lose the Spirit. You didn't lose your salvation, but you're actively resisting the Holy Spirit. You're ignoring the Holy Spirit. You're pushing against the Holy Spirit. You're refusing to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I've been there. I never want to go back. It's as nonsensical as what us guys do a lot of times. Bethany last year ordered, I'm not sure where it was from. I think it was from China. It was a vanity, and I think it had 400 pieces. I'm pretty sure. And if you know me, I wasn't a Lego kid. I don't like to put things together. Construction's not my thing, but I am a dad. I was responsible, and so I had to do that. Now, if I had gotten that 400-piece vanity set, and the first thing I did is got in the box and got those English instructions out and wadded them up and threw them in the trash can, who am I to be mad at? The fourth time that I'm having to take it all back apart to get that one step that I missed because I didn't listen to the instructions. Me. It's no different when the Holy Spirit is sitting there teaching, leading, guiding, willing to do all that, and we just wad it up and throw it in the trash can and expect that we're going to have a good result. It doesn't make any sense. Question. Where in your life right now is the Spirit leading you and you're not following? If our problem is not that we don't have the Spirit, and it's not that the Spirit isn't working, because we see clearly the Spirit is working, then what's the real issue? If we've got the Spirit and the Spirit's working, yet we're not experiencing His power, what's the problem? Well, that brings us to our third truth. The Spirit's power is experienced through surrender. Surrender. Surrender means cease resistance and submit to authority. I want to say that one more time because this is important. Cease resistance and submit to authority. Surrender requires intentional action, just like being in control of your life takes intentional action. So both parts, whether you're going to surrender or try to continue to keep control of your life through your flesh, they both take intentional actions. Galatians 5:25, here we go. This is going to get us out of that. This is going to get us to surrendering. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I like that. I like that because it's visual. I'm thinking that I used to walk when I was a kid in the morning time. My great-grandfather loved to take walks down the dirt road by our house, and I loved to go with him because he would tell me stories and we would just talk, and he would show me things along the road. But he was a long-legged, lanky old man, and I was a little old bitty boy, and I remember it was so hard to keep in step with him, but I wanted to. And that's the same way. I want to keep up with the Holy Spirit. I want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And it's worth a little bit of labor to do that. Romans 8:14, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So if we're going to surrender, we've got to start being led, being willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit leads, but guess what? We have to follow. What did Jesus say? I don't know how many times did He say, follow me. These are not new instructions. Not following the Spirit is similar to this. We all go to a state park. Let's say it's the Grand Canyon. We want to go to the Grand Canyon as a church, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to take us a hike off in the canyon. And it's like me going up and saying, all right, guys, here I don't know how to get down there, and I don't know where we're going to go, but we're going to go hire a guide, and we're going to ask him to guide us down into the Grand Canyon for this great trip as a church. And then he comes over there. I've hired him. I've paid him. This is the guy. And he takes off walking this way, and I say, all right, church, let's go this way. You look, you say, Philip, that's the dumbest thing that we could do. Yeah, it is. Why do we do that with the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit knows exactly where we should go, and he's encouraging us, he's leading us, he's wanting us to walk step by step with him, and we way back over here somewhere, wandering through the back 40. It don't make no sense. So the power of the Holy Spirit is not experienced by just having him, but by yielding to him. Surrender is not a feeling. It's not some sort of super sensual emotion that we're going to. It's simply choosing to say yes to the Spirit and say no to your flesh. Yes, Spirit, no sinful nature. That's surrender. It looks like this. When the Spirit prompts you, respond. When the Word of God corrects you, when the Holy Spirit convicts you, you correct your behavior. You adjust. When sin is exposed, you confess it. You don't try to excuse it. You don't try to hide it. When you're led, you follow. This is surrender. One very unlikely place for surrender is in the operating room, because surgeons have a lot on them and they're responsible for the outcome of a patient who's asleep that cannot do anything for themselves. But there's one time that a surgeon will surrender. When they're using a new medical device that they don't know very much about, they pay a lot of attention to every word those device reps say. And it's amazing to watch, because those surgeons, they're very, you're going to do what I tell you to do. But those device reps are masters of the device. And so they'll come in there, and that surgeon will be, you know, having, he said, what do I do now? Well, you turn this thing, and then you insert this, and that surgeon's just right there, just hanging on every word, doing everything that he says to do, taking all of his direction. Even though he's still performing the surgery, even though he's still doing the work, he surrendered completely to the directive of the person who has the most knowledge. That's what we should be doing. We're still doing the work, but we should be submitting to the direction of the Master, the Holy Spirit. We should be surrendered to him and his direction. We should be following what he says. So where in your life right now is God directing you? You know he's directing you to go in this direction, yet you're still telling him no and standing still or going in another direction. Tonight can be the night to surrender, to stop going in that other direction and start following him as he's calling you to follow him. What does surrender look like? Well, it's not once a week. We talked about, I kind of went on that tirade about, you know, one Sunday a month or whatever. It's not once a week. It's not one Sunday a month. It's not just in moments like this. It's all day long. From the time that we wake up to the time that we go to bed, we should be seeking actively to surrender our flesh, lead desires, to the Holy Spirit and his leading. In our small decisions, in small moments, in even the smallest yeses to God. When we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit, we're going to know. Not because of a feeling, but because our life starts to change. You start showing new characteristics that you see over in Galatians 5. Peace, patience, kindness. When you never had that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is taking over. And his characteristics are coming out through you. You start responding differently. You start thinking differently. You start living differently. You start spending differently. You start showing up differently. That's what the Holy Spirit's power looks like. Not just big moments, not the stone into Goliath's head, not the fire coming down and consuming the wood-soaked or the water-soaked wood, not stones being placed upon you one after the other as you die for your faith, but a life changed by the power of God. So, if the Holy Spirit's power is experienced through surrender, then the question is not, do I have the Spirit? The question is, does the Spirit have me? All of me. So we don't need more of the Holy Spirit. We've already had the Holy Spirit as believers. The question is not, why do I not have more power? The real question is, where am I not surrendering my fleshly desire to God's calling and God's desire for my life? Some of you know exactly where that is. A conversation maybe that you need to have that you won't have. A sin that you just keep holding on to, you won't let go of. One step of obedience that you keep delaying. A moment that you keep ignoring. Yet you keep wondering why it feels empty, why you feel powerless, why you don't feel like the Holy Spirit is working in your life. This is not a I gotta do better moment. This is a I've got to surrender all moment. Just like the old hymn says, I surrender all. But will we? I guess, how bad do you want the Holy Spirit in your life? So here's what I want to do, want you to do. Not tomorrow, not next week, right now. Tonight, before you leave, ask God one question. If you're uncertain, where am I resisting your will and your calling? Will you ask Him that? Where am I resisting your will and your calling on my life? I think He'll identify it if you're willing to ask that. And when He shows you, don't turn a blind eye. Don't make excuses. Don't delay it. Just say one thing that here in the South you probably were taught when you were growing up. Two words. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tonight, surrender it. And then tomorrow morning, start your day with Holy Spirit, lead me today. And what I've started praying since I've started studying this for the past several weeks is empty me of my flesh. Why do I want to be empty of my flesh? Because it makes more room for the Holy Spirit. When He prompts you, then you can move. When He corrects you, you'll adjust. When He leads you, you'll follow. And for non-believers, if you came here tonight, you have never confessed Christ, you cannot experience the power and the prompting of the Holy Spirit until He lives in you. And the Holy Spirit only comes to live inside of you when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior and you believe in Him. When you believe and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you get the gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And then everything that we talked about tonight will apply to you. But until that time, it doesn't. What is the one thing keeping you from the Holy Spirit's power? For some, not all, it's your refusal to surrender your fleshly desires to God's ultimate will for your life. Here's the good news. The Spirit's power shows up the moment surrender starts. And you know when surrender can start for you? Right now. That's the good news. Before I pray, John the Baptist said it best. He summed up this whole sermon a whole lot quicker than I could preach it. To quote him, in light of Jesus, he said, "He, Jesus, must increase, but I must decrease." And surrendering is you decreasing while the Holy Spirit increases in your life. Let's pray.